RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present your program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, headline newspaper, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia to form special Trans-Pacific Partnership team this month. Environment and Forestry Minister says no issues with high-speed train environmental analysis. Now the news in detail. The decision whether to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership or TPP will be arrived at cautiously by first establishing a special committee to review the advantages and disadvantages of joining the U.S.-led trade pact agreement, an official has said. The Coordinating Economic Minister's Deputy for International Economic and Financial Cooperation, Rizal Afandi Lukman, said the ministry was preparing a decree on the TPP committee. According to him, the team will consist of two layers, namely government officials from relevant ministries and public figures, ranging from expert to chairman of business associations. The team, he continued, would recommend flexibility for Indonesia in the TPP. Later, the government and the House will decide which regulations have to be properly adjusted. Previously, the chairman of the House of Representatives Commission 6 overseeing state-owned enterprises, Ahmad Hafiz Tohir, said Indonesia had to amend at least 12 laws, including the laws of state-owned enterprises, investment and business competition to pave the way to joining the pact. Under the state-owned enterprises clause, Ahmad warned the trade pact required its members to ensure equal treatment, especially when the state enterprises received government support in engaging in commercial activity. Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya said that there is no problem with the environmental impact analysis of the upcoming high-speed rail link between Jakarta and Bandung, despite the fact that there is some notes about flood-prone areas and seismically active zones across the track. However, the minister said the Indonesia-China High-Speed Rail Link Company, KCIC, as the project administrator and contractor, has managed to provide an answer to all of the issues. Siti Nurbaya said during a press conference about the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed rail link in Jakarta on February 9, 2016, that all of their solutions have been summarized in the environmental impact document, so there are no more doubts about the safety and the environmental impact of this project. According to her, the Environmental Impact Analysis, or AMDAL, consists of three documents: an Environmental Impact Assessment, a Strategic Environmental Assessment, and an Environmental Monitoring Assessment Criteria. The first two are related to things are macro-strategic in nature, such as spatial planning. The Indonesian government's move in normalizing the situation after terrorist attack in front of Sarinah Mall, Central Jakarta, in mid-January 2016, was appreciated by international society. Because the previous tense situation gradually returned to normal within a short time, This was revealed by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi during a working meeting with Commission 1 of the House at the Parliament Complex on Tuesday. According to Minister Retno, the compliment received because President Joko Widodo not only used hard power in addressing the attack, but also soft power approach. For those approaches, he added, Indonesia is often the main speaker in combating terrorism in the world. It is at least can be seen at the next US-ASEAN summit. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan affirmed that Indonesia could not be dictated by another country in any way, especially in law enforcement. Luhut emphasized that Indonesia has balanced relations with other countries without a special affinity. Luhut in Jakarta on Tuesday said, after a meeting with Russian Security Council Secretary Nikolai Patrushev at the Office of Coordinating Minister, Ministry for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, that the meeting discussed the cooperation of two countries in the field of intelligence, counterterrorism, defense industry, military and drugs. Luhut said that Nikolai had requested the extradition of its citizens who involved in drug cases in Indonesia. Luhut stated, Indonesia and Russia do not have a written agreement related to extradition. It is recorded there are 6 Russian citizens who were involved in drug cases in Indonesia, one of whom is a drugs leader. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Jakarta City Government has officially barred cars from entering the parking lots of the capital's low-cost public apartments in a bid to ensure that they are only rented by underprivileged people. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama has been clearing out illegal dwellings encroaching the city's major rivers, placing residents in hundreds of low-cost apartments built by the government. But the low-rent apartments proved to be in such high demand that some former squat dwellers have rented their apartment units out to middle-class Jakartans for a profit and returned to build illegal settlements elsewhere. Governor Basuki said on Tuesday, low-rent apartments, known as Rusunawa, are meant for people with a maximum income of 5 million rupiah a month. The governor said parking spaces in Rusunawas would soon only be available to motorcycles, with the remaining space converted as park and playground. Indonesia's Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, will be helping 7 new companies looking to invest a total of nearly 14 trillion rupiah or $103 million to clear major hurdles in their projects this year as part of the government's initiative to boost investment. It remains to be seen whether the companies would be able to start right away with their projects after receiving BKPM aid. But the agency's track record as part of its so-called de-bottlenecking initiative is encouraging, having resolved problems faced by half of 88 companies that reported issues ranging from land acquisition, mismatch regulation, and shortages of raw materials. Azhar Lubis, a deputy of BKPM, told reporters during a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, BKPM managed to complete its assistance to 46 companies last year. He added, the new companies who have asked for BKPM's assistance include 3 foreign investors with some 12 trillion rupiah worth of projects, as well as 4 local investors with about 1.8 trillion rupiah worth of projects. The last item, prolonged rainy season prior to and during the Lunar New Year 2567 resulted in several districts in the city of Medan inundated with varying water levels. Based on public report and direct observation to the location of the flood, Chairman of the Parliament of Medan, Henry John Hutagalung, said the Parliament reported the condition to the Medan City Government and demanded for a re-observation to the inundated location to determine the cause of the flood. According to him, the Bina Marga Highway Office of Medan reported flooding in several districts triggered by river shallowing. Henry John Hutagalung further said, the Regional Legislative Council DPRD of Medan has asked the city government to seek a budget allocation of handling an emergency response to address the silting of the rivers in Medan, which could potentially cause flooding. The Regional Legislative Body expected Medan city government can immediately take advantage of the budget for the dredging of the rivers so that it is no need to wait for budget allocations from the Regional Office for River Field of Medan. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia to form Special Trans-Pacific Partnership TPP team this month. Environment and Forestry Minister says no issues with high-speed train environment analysis. Listener, that was the news. Listener, welcome to our commentary entitled for today, The World Condemns North Korea. Last Sunday, February 7th, North Korea successfully launched a long-range rocket and placed a satellite in orbit. The launch has drawn criticism from many parties, including the United Nations Security Council. North Korea argues the rocket launch carried a communication satellite to orbit. However, many countries regard it as a ballistic missile test. The UN Security Council strongly condemned North Korea's rocket launch. In a statement issued a few hours after the launch, the UN stated that it would follow it up with a resolution. The world body with 15 member countries would impose sanctions in response to serious and dangerous violations by Pyongyang. Unexpectedly, China, which is known as an ally of North Korea, also support the UN Security Council statement. Rafael Ramirez of Venezuela, who currently serves as the president of the UN Security Council, said the use of ballistic missile technology, even though for launching a rocket, breaks several UN resolutions. He said it played a role in the development of North Korea's nuclear weapon system. For information, the UN Security Council has imposed 4 sets of sanctions against North Korea since the country firstly tested nuclear devices in 2006. Not to forget, the Indonesian government, which also said it deplored the launch of long-range missile by the North Koreans. Indonesia asked North Korea to abide the resolution of United Nations Security Council so as not to cause tensions among countries. Various actions that indicate North Korea's nuclear weapons development continues disturbing neighboring countries and even the world. For the Asian region itself, North Korea's actions could invite U.S. military presence that is wider in the region. After last Sunday's satellite launch, the United States and South Korea agreed to immediately intensify plans to put the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense System, a sophisticated missile interceptors, on the Korean Peninsula. This plan had previously been opposed by China, fearing a range of defense system will reach China. The system is designed to ambush and destroy ballistic missiles inside or outside the atmosphere while gliding. In addition, as a neighboring country, Japan also confirmed that it will implement harsh measures against North Korea. Although it does not explain what steps will be taken, Tokyo never considers applying the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense System in the country. By placing this system in North Korea's neighboring countries, the United States can further strengthen the presence of its military in the region. It may increase and not reduce the regional tensions. That was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Okay.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We begin with an event occurred on February 10, 1947, the signing of Paris Peace Treaty. On February 10, 1947, after the downfall of King Victor Emmanuel III, the Republic of Italy must sign peace treaty with the Allied forces. They gathered in Paris, and the meeting was named Paris Peace Treaty. The decision made in the treaties, where all Italian colonies in North Africa was handed over by the United Kingdom, Italian territory was reduced, Italy must pay the war loss, Abyssinia and Albania got their independence, and Trieste became an independent country under the United Nations. We continue with an event on February 1979, when the military government in Tehran was extended. On February 10, 1979, the generals of Shah regime in Iran extended their military government in Tehran. Therefore, they tried to prevent people's aid to the Iranian Air Force, which sided to the revolution. Besides that, they hoped before the time limit, Imam Khomeini and his supporters could be caught or killed. Imam Khomeini, in responding to the issue, called the people to ignore the military government. The people of Iran then continued their rallies, and a clash happened in various Shah loyalist military bases. We end today in history with an event on February 10, 2009, when the Iridium 33 communication satellite and Cosmos 2251 clashed in orbit. Cosmos 2251 was a Russian Strela 2M communication satellite. This satellite was launched from Site 132/1 in Placid's Cosmodrome on 417 GMT on June 16, 1993, by the Cosmos 3M Korea rocket. On February 10, 2009, on 1655 GMT, the satellite collided with Iridium 33 satellite, resulting in total annihilation of both satellites. The Russian government was yet to comment about the claim that the satellite was out of control. NASA reported many space debris was caused by the accident. That was today in history.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voice Green. Today's edition features government decides to build project in seven cities. The government of Indonesia decided to build a pilot project of waste power plant in seven cities. The decision was aimed to solve the difficult sanitary and social issues. The government also wants to fulfill their promise to use renewable energy amounting to 23% in 2025, which was stated by President Joko Widodo during the COP21 in Paris last November. The pilot project will be carried out in Jakarta, Bandung, Tangerang, Surabaya, Semarang, Solo, and Makassar. The cities are divided into big city with 1,000 ton waste per day and intermediate city with 200 and 250 ton of waste per day. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said the related presidential decree has been proposed to related ministry. The government is also able to control the purchasing mechanism of the power produced through the waste management. The project is also encouraged to not use purely business approach. If focusing on business, the waste issue cannot be solved. However, the investors are guaranteed from loss. According to Pramono Anung, in a closed-door meeting, President and related ministers agreed the cooperation between regional and central government. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister of Economy Darmin Nasution said the presidential decree draft on the waste to power plant acceleration had been signed by the related ministries. Darmin added, if the energy from the waste management was seen to be too expensive, the central government will have the purchasing mechanism. In a sense, National Power Company PLN must buy the power of seven cities. Regarding the price, the government also simplifies the permit and non-permit issues. So far, the permit for such project takes long process, requiring a lot of time and administration process from regional to central government. Besides to find a solution about the trash, the government also wants to fulfill their promise to the world for the use of new and renewable energy. The promise was submitted by President Joko Widodo while attending the climate change conference in Paris in November 2015. When leading the closed meeting, President Joko Widodo hoped the meeting on waste to energy plant is the last one. After the decision was made, the government wants the project to be carried out immediately. That's Voice Green.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, February 10, 2016. We begin with Kompas newspaper, which wrote press must build optimism. The press world is also responsible to build a nation and increase competitiveness in the globalization era. For instance, by providing an ethical news, building optimism and work ethics, hence increasing high productivity. President Joko Widodo during the peak event of National Press Day at Kuta Beach, West Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara said, in the international competition era, trust is required. Investment will come if there is trust, which media produces by forming perception through news. The efforts to build such trust is a challenge in the era of press freedom, because information flows rapidly and variously. Even some are misleading and disturbing common sense. Such information is not fact-based, biased, and sometimes aimed for mere sensation. Some online mass media, according to the president, provided inaccurate news because of chasing publication speed. Besides, news is often biased, ambiguous, between fact and writer's opinion, or even judgmental. President hoped the mass media, especially television, can provide morality to construct nation characters, such as providing a non-bathing program. Listener, we continue with Media Indonesia, which wrote, tighten cyanide trade. The government must make a move to monitor the trade of cyanide, a deadly substance. This is necessary to prevent cyanide abuse for crime, such as in the murder of Wayan Mirna Salihin on January 6, 2016. University of Indonesia criminologist Ade Erlangga Masdiana asked the Trade Ministry to supervise the cyanide distribution tightly. He suggested the ministry to publish a letter to control the substance and prevent more victims. Based on the Trade Ministry Regulation No. 57/2014 on supervision of dangerous substance distribution, Trade Ministry, Food and Drug Monetary Agency, BPOM, provincials and regency agencies, as well as other related institutions. Meanwhile, Tempo wrote, work termination spreads to pharmacy industry. The wave of work termination began reaching pharmacy sector. Executive Director of International Pharmaceutical Manufacturer Group, Parulian Simanjuntak said, 200 employees of PT Sindos Indonesia were terminated last January. He said some of them were hired again. Parulian explained, the worker reduction from marketing division was caused by Sandoz stock takeover by PT Novartis Indonesia, which cut unneeded division. President Director of Novartis, Lutfi Mardiansyah, denied the issue. He asserted there was no any work termination. Industry Ministry General Director of Manufacturing Industry, Haryanto, admitted yet to receive official information on the matter. Meanwhile, Manpower Minister Hanif Dakhiri said the need of workers is still high. Citing the report of Investment Coordinating Board, he said, there are 40 companies needing additional 184,000 workers. From such number, only 21,000 was fulfilled. We end today's headline with Republika, which also highlighted work termination. BKPM admits the issue in worker absorption. The government claim worker absorption is higher than work termination. Nevertheless, Government also admitted there are problems in work absorption. Manpower Minister Hanif Dahiri on Tuesday had a meeting with Industry Minister Saleh Husin and Head of Investment Coordinating Board BKPM Frankie Sibarani discussing the work termination. Minister Dahiri said, on 2015, there are 40 companies needing 184,000 workers, yet only 21,000 were absorbed. The minister added, work termination and worker absorptions happened at the same time in daily basis. If there is work termination, the company needs to discuss with the local worker union. Listener, that was Headline. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Welcome to News in Brief. The decision whether to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership will be arrived at cautiously by first establishing a special committee to review the advantages and disadvantages of joining the U.S.-led trade pact agreement. The Coordinating Economic Minister's Deputy for International Economic and Financial Cooperation, Rizal Afandi Lukman, said the ministry was preparing a decree on the TPP committee. Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya said that there is no problem with the environmental impact analysis of the upcoming high-speed rail link between Jakarta and Bandung, despite the fact that there is some notes about flood-prone areas and seismically active zones across the track. However, the minister said the Indonesia-China High-Speed Rail Link Company, as the project administrator and contractor, has managed to provide an answer to all of those issues. The Indonesian government's move in normalizing the situation after terrorist attack in front of Sarinah Mall, Central Jakarta, in mid-January 2016 was appreciated by international society. Because the previous tense situation gradually returned to normal within a short time. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, affirmed that Indonesia could not be dictated by another country in any way, especially in law enforcement. The Jakarta City government has officially barred cars from entering the parking lots of the capital's low-cost public apartments in a bid to ensure that they are only rented by underprivileged people. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama has been clearing out illegal dwellings encroaching the city's major rivers, placing residents in hundreds of low-cost apartments built by the government. Indonesia's Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, will be helping seven new companies looking to invest a total of nearly 14 trillion rupiah, or $103 million, to clear major hurdles in their projects this year as part of the government's initiative to boost investment. Prolonged rainy season prior to and during the Lunar New Year 2567 resulted in several districts in the city of Medan inundated with varying water levels. Based on public report and direct observation to the local of the flood, Chairman of the Parliament of Medan, Henry Johan Hatagalung, said, the parliament reported the condition to the Medan city government and demanded for a re-observation to the inundated location to determine the cause of the flood. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 9525 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Lode traditional party from Gorontalo province. Stay tuned. Listeners, on January 31, 2016, the people of Nusa Utara who come from Sangihe Talaut and Sitaro in Gorontalo province held Tulede traditional party in Gentuma Raya, North Gorontalo Regency. Tulede is a traditional party which unites all people of Sangihe Talaut. It is held until now. The word Tulede comes from Suhude, meaning to reject or to push. So Tulude can also mean rejecting, to keep depending on things in the past years, and to be ready in welcoming new life in the new year. This traditional party is also held to express gratitude for all the blessings from God during the past years, while contemplating that next year they can live better and more beneficial for other communities. Tulude is also held as a media to rearrange the life of every member of society to be better and to be more beneficial in all fields. Listeners, in the past, Tulude was held on December 31st every year. After Christian entered Sangihe, the date of the ritual was changed to be January 31st in order not to disrupt Christmas and Christians' New Year's celebration. In the past, this tradition was implemented with ceremony at the beach by pushing or releasing a small boat which is made from latulang wood, a kind of wood which grows upright and has no branch, with certain cargo. This boat was pushed to the sea by traditional local figures as a symbol that every bad thing in the past years is discharged or washed away into the sea, so it will not happen to the local villagers in the new year. If the boat is washed by the waves and washed up to the beach or neighboring village, the people who find it must refuse and release it back to the sea. Otherwise, other evils and sickness which have hit the people where the boat is from will be moved to a place where the boat is stranded. Listeners, when Christianity and Islam entered Sangihe and Talaut in the 19th century, Tulude traditional ceremony changed and was full of Evangelism element. Tulude traditional ceremony has a series of events. First, tamu traditional cake is made at the traditional figure's house in one night before the implementation of the ceremony. Then they prepare dance troupes, dancers of Gunde traditional dance, Salo traditional dance, Kakalumpang dance, Empat Wayer dance, a singing group of Masamper songs, and determine traditional figures who will cut tamu traditional kai. Determine traditional figure who pray for the community's safety. Determine the leader of ceremony who is called Mayore Labo, and attend preparation of Tembonang Ubanwa, or country's leader, in accordance with levels of government ceremony, such as village heads, district, regions, mayors, or governors. And Wawu Boki, or the wife of the leader of the country, as well as the deliver invitations to all members of society. The people will later bring food in the traditional feast. Thank you. listeners, Tulu Day traditional ceremony was held in the evening until night for 4 hours. The peak of the event was held when Tamo traditional cake was picked up and paraded around the village or city. Then the cake was brought into the venue. Earlier, the cake brought into the area Tembonang Ubanoa, the village head, sub-district, region, mayor, or governor has already been at the traditional party to pick the cake up. Then they eat it together and hold regional art performance. Tulu Day ceremony has become an annual agenda of Sanghe people, and now the ceremony is not only held in Sanghe but also in various regions such as Manado, Bitung, until Bolaang, Mongondo. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a regular segment introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and idiom as well as its use in conversation. Today's topic is Belajar Bersama, or in English means studying together. Stay tuned. As usual, first, I will say the Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to today's topic. I will say them twice, and you can repeat after me. Belajar bersama. Belajar bersama. In English, studying together. Sedang apa? Sedang apa? In English, what are you doing? Belajar. Belajar. In English, studying. Matematika. Matematika. In English, mathematics. Perpustakaan. Perpustakaan. In English, library. Besok. Besok. In English, tomorrow. Ulangan matematika. Ulangan matematika. In English, math exam. Geography. Geography. In English, geography. Pelajaran. Pelajaran. In English, subject. Mari. Mari. In English, let us. Belajar. Belajar. Study. Alright, listener, here is a conversation example between Andi A and Danu B. I will say them twice and you can repeat after me. A. Danu, kamu sedang apa? Danu, kamu sedang apa? In English, Danu, what are you doing? B. Aku sedang belajar matematika. Aku sedang belajar matematika. In English, I'm studying mathematics. A. Mari kita belajar bersama di perpustakaan. Mari kita belajar bersama di perpustakaan. In English, let's study together in the library.
B. Baiklah, besok aku ulangan matematika. Baiklah, besok aku ulangan matematika. In English, okay, tomorrow I have a math exam. Pelajaran apa yang kamu suka? Pelajaran apa yang kamu suka? In English, what is your favorite subject? A. Aku suka sejarah dan geografi. Aku suka sejarah dan geografi. In English, I like history and geography. B. Aku juga suka pelajaran geografi. Aku juga suka pelajaran geografi. In English, geography is my favorite too. A. Mari kita belajar. Mari kita belajar. In English, let's study. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. See you again next week with another interesting topics. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Hernita, in our regular segment Music Corner. We introduce you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, presenting you to Indonesian popular ballad singer, Ebit G. Ade. Listener, to initiate today's music corner, let's listen to the coming song entitled Untuk Direnungkan by Ebit G. Ade. Enjoy the song.
Kita mesti telanjang dan benar-benar bersih. Suci lahir dan di dalam batin. Tengoklah ke dalam sebelum bicara. Singkirkan debu yang masih melekat. Oh, singkirkan debu yang masih melekat. Du-du-du-du-du. Du-du-du-du. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. Anugerah dan bencana adalah kehendaknya. Kita mesti tabah menjalani. Hanya cambuk kecil agar kita sadar. Adalah dia di atas segalanya. Oh, adalah dia di atas segalanya. Anak menjerit-jerit, asap panas membakar, lahar dan badai menyapu bersih. Ini bukan hukuman, hanya satu isyarat bahwa kita
mesti banyak berbenah. Memang bila kita kaji lebih jauh dalam kekalutan, masih banyak tangan yang tega berbuat nista. Oh, oh. Tuhan pasti telah memperhitungkan amal dan dosa yang kita perbuat. Kemanakah lagi kita kan sembunyi? Hanya kepadanya kita kembali. Tak ada yang bakal bisa menjawab. Mari hanya runduk sujud padanya. Du-du-du-du-du. Du-du-du-du. Oh-oh. Mesti berjuang memerangi diri, bercermin dan banyaklah bercermin. Tuhan ada di sini, di dalam jiwa ini. Berusahalah agar dia tersenyum. Oh, berusahalah agar dia tersenyum. Du 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 du. Du 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 du. Oh. Oh.
Originally, Abid Keadi was a singer and a songwriter. Abid was known with his songs themed the nature and grief suffered by marginalized groups. Through his ballad genre songs, at the beginning of his career, he told the atmosphere of Indonesia's life in the late 1970s up to the present. It is not easy for Abid Keadi to begin his debut from a poet to be a singer. The artist, who was born in Wanadadi, Banjarnegara, Central Java, on April 21, 1954, has been rejected by recording company when he offered the songs to be produced. But thanks to his perseverance, Abid managed to give birth to his first album. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kupu Kupu Kertas by Abid Keadi. Happy listening.
Setiap waktu engkau tersenyum, sudut matamu memancarkan rasa keresahan yang terbenam, kerinduan yang tertahan, duka dalam yang tersembunyi jauh di lubuk hati. Kata-katamu riuh mengalir bagai gerimis,
seperti angin, tak pernah diam, selalu beranjak. Setiap saat menebarkan jala asmara, menaburkan aroma luka, benih kebencian kau tanam, bakar ladang gersang. Entah sampai kapan berhenti menipu diri. Kupu-kupu kertas yang terbang kian kemari, aneka rupa dan warna, dibias lampu temaram. Yang lekat dalam jiwa, mencuci bersih dari segala kekotoran. Aku menunggu hujan turunlah, aku mengharap badai datanglah. Gemuruhnya akan melumatkan semua kupu-kupu kertas. Kupu-kupu kertas yang terbang kian kemari, aneka rupa dan warna, lampu temaram. Kupu-kupu kertas yang terbang kian kemari, aneka rupa dan warna, dibias lampu.
Even though the songs presented by Abid with the vocal characteristic and lyrics, theme, nature and divinity is always enjoyed by music lovers in the country. The music color and vocal of Abid is very appropriate to the circumstances of nature which has happened in the country. Natural disasters making Abid has inspired people through his nature theme song, such as Berita Kepada Kawan, Masih Ada Waktu, and many other songs which inspired people to love nature. The songs became a new trend in pop music Indonesia. In Indonesian pop music in late 1979 to 1983 era. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Menjaring Matahari and Cinta Selembut Embun by Abid K. Ade. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Sengajakah engkau mewakili pikiranku pekat? Hitam berarat menyelimuti matahari. Aku dan semua yang ada di sekelilingku merangkak menggapai dalam gelap. Mendung, benarkah pertanda akan segera deras, agar semua basah yang ada di muka bumi siramilah juga jiwa kami semua yang tengah dirundung kegalauan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.